Glenn, these guys might be the ultimate definition of the word closer, aren't they? The Kings. They just close things out.
Cardiac kids. Here we go. Like, to think of what they've done. I mean, I've been around a long time, and I've never seen teams come back from 2-0 in multiple games and Stanley Cup finals and do it in the fashion that they have. It's pretty incredible. I haven't led this series for 1 second.
I know.
Go back to the last series. Didn't lead that one for a second either. Game 7 against Chicago. So they're making the road difficult for themselves, but you know, they got to sit back and go, we're up 2-0. What's wrong with this? It's all good.
Okay, you've seen this team up close for a while now. What explains this resilience? It can't be all that stuff about, well, you know, we never think we're out of the game. Is there something about the way Daryl Sutter coaches, or is it get down to the what we talk about an awful lot, the depth of their forward lines, the belief in their goaltender? What explains this?
Every team takes on the personality of the coach. If your coach is a yeller, the bench, they're all yellers. If your coach is panicky, they're all panicky.
Mm-hmm.
He's about as nonchalant as can possibly be. And, you know, we always have an interview with the coach before the game. And he takes you through his game plan, so to speak, somewhat. And Sutter's about as honest as you can ever get from any coach ever.
Mm.
Tells you right out, Regeer's not playing. I just did that yesterday for you guys just to play with you guys. He's not playing tonight. That's the kind of guy he is. He's straightforward, honest, open. And like you talk about juggling lines, you talk about understanding your bench, talk about knowing who's going for you, who's not going for you. There's probably not many better than Sutter.
You know, we talked a lot going into this series, or a lot of people talked about Alain Vigneault and how in some ways he may be underappreciated as a head coach. I would think that's nothing compared to the underappreciation of Daryl Sutter, because I guarantee you, you could put a lot of people in a room and ask them to name their top three coaches. He might not be there.
No. People probably don't even know he's coaching the team. That's
exactly
why he likes it. Yeah. It's perfect. You don't know I'm coaching? Great. But don't ask me questions. I wouldn't be surprised to see him step aside at the end of the year.
Really?
And have a Stevens, who is you know, the assistant coach,
mm-hmm.
who's really, really been hounded down by a number of teams, take on the head job, but stay in L.A. This is a pretty unique group, but they are a really, really good team that gets it. That it's funny. Sutter was talking the other day about how the fact that six of them hadn't been to a Stanley Cup final, and you know, he was a little bit concerned about his young guys. Six of them. Have you seen the Rangers? You got 18 of them. So he's managing to get it done with a pretty good group of guys.
Glenn Healy joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. One of that group of guys who has been really good for him is Marian Gaborik. I had forgotten about this. This is his first game back at Madison Square Garden since the trade to the Columbus Blue Jackets. I just assumed at some point he'd been back on the ice. I've got to think that I don't know how many players have made their return to New York, Glenn, with their reputation having changed 180 degrees. I mean, I think he's in the Conn Smythe discussion as far as some people are concerned. He's a different guy than the guy the Rangers let go to Columbus, isn't he?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't use the C word with him.
Okay.
But I would say that he's having a pretty darn good series and a pretty good playoff. And, you know, you look back to those days when he was with the Rangers, and there was always that John Tortorella and him
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, love affair that just didn't go right. And, you know, Tortorella didn't treat him well. And, you know, you try to blemish it over, you know, from a media type like myself. You're like, oh, everything's fine with them. Yes, it's all good. Sonny and Cher, they're getting along fine. Everything's good. It just wasn't that way with them. And so, you know, there's a little bit there for him. You know, he's a guy, he's a California guy. He's perfect in L.A., mm-hmm. agents there, and he just fits in blemish-free. But he's a game-breaker, and that's why they got him in New York, and that's why the L.A. Kings took their chance, and they got him in L.A., and he's true to form.
Glenn, you're between the benches. What's the tone of this series like from where you are?
Pretty civilized in my mind. There's a little bit going on that both teams where they kind of don't like each other, but they don't know each other well enough to not to like each
right.
other. But it's a pretty civilized series. Neither team really has a feel for the other team. There's probably more animosity with the referees than there is for the other team,
mm-hmm.
and that was pretty evident with some of the calls in game two. There were some horrific calls from some referees that they'll probably regret for a long time.
Did you have an issue with that, the third Kings goal?
You think? Come on.
Would you, even if you weren't a goaltender, would you have an issue with it?
Find somebody who thought it was a good call.
Mm-hmm.
Find them. Get them to call in. Let's comb the planet and find one person who thought that was a good call. One person. And then make the mayor of Toronto.
What
that would be normal.
When it's interesting when you talk about the just the feeling towards the officials. It's kind of odd because I mean it's not the most physical series we've seen.
No, it's not. And just to kind of put the cap on the officials, like it's time for them to be able to look at something like that on video.
Right.
You know, we try desperately to get things right, and goals are such a big issue. Wouldn't it be good for, and McCauley's a phenomenal referee. I mean, his dad died 25 years ago. His dad, John McCauley, was just a tremendous human being, a great mm-hmm. official. Now his son's taking kind of that mantra over. Wouldn't it be good just to even take a peek and to go, yeah, I missed that one.
Well,
and that's okay.
It does seem kind of odd that there's not an automatic review of that. Especially
I think the general managers are all in. The competition committee meets today. The general managers will meet on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to expand it.
Yeah.
Wake up into the kind of the new millennium, so to speak, and say, all right, we can be better than that. And I think they'll think about that. And do the fans care? Do they really care if it takes 20 seconds to look at something on video and say, I missed it? And it's okay to miss it. It's fast. I played the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down between the benches. I've been there for, a decade, and it's way faster now than it was 10 years ago. You look back to, when Martin St. Louis and Richards won the Cup 10 years ago. They played for Tampa Bay. They played against, there wasn't one lead change in the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever scored first won.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well,
we're washing away two-goal leads game in, game out now.
Yeah, it's become a regular occurrence. I mean, I'm not a huge fan necessarily of expanded replay in a lot of sports, but it seems to me two things about goaltender interference. One, it's a play that more often than not leads to a goal being scored, which is the most important thing in the game. But two, it's surprising how often with those penalties or with those plays, the review is almost instantaneous. I mean, you look at it, you go, okay, that's goaltender interference. Very seldom is it one of those where it takes 3 minutes to decide whether or not it's goaltender interference.
Yeah, and typically, too, you look at the goaltender, like Henrik Lundqvist, never got over it. He's
mm-hmm.
not over it today. He'll be at practice today still complaining about that call. He couldn't come around to the fact that shouldn't have counted. That was not right. Wasn't part of the rules. And, basically what they should have done, don't even have a penalty. Just wave the goal off,
face
off outside, drop the puck, game on. Didn't happen, and that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Glenn Healy joins us on Hockey Night in Canada. So Alain Vigneault has the last line change at home for these two games. How does he use that to counteract that the Kings' depth in the forward position?
I don't think it matters.
Okay.
I really don't. This is not a matchup series. This is not one where you go, okay, you've definitely got to have. He likes to have his two top D against the Kopitar line. But I look at the Kopitar line. I don't even know if that's the best line that they've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many other players that are contributing. I just think it's a matter of, okay, you know, we've got to find a way to play to the best of our ability, which is that Ranger game, which is full of speed, which is abuse their defense. And I just really don't believe that the last line change makes a difference. It doesn't make a difference. We can make it up, and it's a great story. And,
right.
Wow, look how smart we are. No, it doesn't to me.
Can you remember a team that has been more difficult to match up against than the Kings recently?
No. No, they're a deep group. You look at last game, you know, Jarrett Stahl, he relied on him so heavily. Richards, he moves him up to to a top line. I mean, Richards was done 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I was done 10 years ago. No one's digging me out of the grave.
Right.
They're pulling him out, and they're playing him, and they're, you know, the Carter guy who everyone thought, wow, leaves Columbus, you know, he likes to party a little bit in Philadelphia. And, well, why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You're 20 years old and making tons of money. Why wouldn't you do that if you're single? Again, relies on him. I think he's one of those down-to-earth coaches that just people like to play for, and he recognizes who's going immediately for the group and makes the changes that he's going to make. And it's working for that group, and they are a pretty tight-knit group. Like, I can tell from between the benches, they like each other a lot, and they're getting along, and when you're, you know, fighting for that cause, that's a tough thing to mask over.
Before we let you run, Mike Zeisberger of The Sun reported on Friday that the Leafs were one of six teams that have spoken to the San Jose Sharks about Joe Thornton's no movement clause. Does that surprise you? It probably shouldn't surprise anybody, should it?
Well, it's worked so good in San Jose. Why don't we just let it go in Toronto?
You're such a cynic. You're such a cynic.
They need a number one center.
Right.
They're sick and tired of the Joe Thornton story in San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes total sense that probably would work. But, when you piece it all together, why didn't it work in San Jose? That would be my question. Why
right.
didn't it?
Right.
Is it coaching? Is it personnel? Is it the matchups that they didn't get? Or is it that the guy who has a kind of a body temperature of 98.6 never gets it to 98.7?
Mm-hmm.
There's your question.
Glenn, as always, you have summed it up succinctly.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff.
have a great rest of the finals. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, wonderful. Maybe it'll be over by then.
It could be.
I would guess it is.
I would think you're probably right. Take care.
Cheers.